program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, these are interesting times, let's say.
You have used what I consider the most safe word in the English language.
It's
interesting.
It also seems
because that can mean just anything in the world.
That's right. Noteworthy. That can be a very loaded word too. But
you never know what it really means in the eyes or the ears of those who are listening and those who are speaking.
That's right.
It is interesting.
Yeah, at this time though, people, you know, post election, people thought that many people thought that some of the protesting and a lot of the demonstration type activities would kind of go away. What do we see is going on these days?
I think it really has surprised us all, and I say us all, most of us. I knew that there were some reports from the FBI that there would be some rioting that would take place. In fact, I heard it was, you know, in all 50 capitals of the United States. On the day of the inauguration, and it was being presented as those who would be in opposition. It would be like I'm going to use the term. I try to avoid words, but it would be like Trump supporters would be against, be instigators. That's the implication. Not necessarily those exact words, but I did not anticipate the Antifa mob and the looting. Well, first, just the bashing, and I'm talking about in the Democratic National Convention headquarters. I'm talking about for Portland. I think I'm right about that. Mm-hmm. But it was that they hated, it was Antifa hating Biden or denouncing him. And, you know, just think, I think people thought, okay, this era is over, even though there were things said that could take place, but it was presented in a different way. The people who were supposed to be doing the rioting were going to be from a different faction. So I just think it's fascinating. I think it's amazing how quickly the tide of opinion turns, or the tide of a movement can change after certain figureheads are now in a different place. I'm saying, like, certain people who were saying Antifa, you know, that they're nothing, or they're a myth, or those presenting Black Lives Matter, and I like the name Black Lives Matter by itself, because I think all lives matter, but the point is, many have told me that there are people who've come in to hijack their movement, those who were peaceful, and then all of a sudden there'd be fires and Molotov cocktails and stabbings, all these things that were taking place. But what's fascinating to me is these supposed protests that turned violent, that all the looting, there were all the murders, the police, the law enforcement agents that were harmed, who, and I'll later mention the numbers, they devastated certain communities for months, and yet people failed to condemn the violence. I'm talking about leaders, certain leaders. When asked, they either denied it was happening, or some even encouraged it. One major person that you would know quickly said, in terms of the riots, that some groups, quote, have no choice but to riot. And this person is from New York. And, you know, to have no choice but to riot, no. And there were those who helped even bail rioters out of jail to intentionally come back and do it again. These are major leaders. And yet, there are those who, like Tom Cotton, a wonderful man from a senator from Arkansas. Violence and anarchy are unacceptable. We are a nation of laws. This needs to end now. Yes, yes. Tim Scott, a wonderful senator, black senator. The violence occurring in the United States Capitol is simply unacceptable. I fully condemn it. Team Scott is safe. God bless the U.S. Capitol Police, the U.S. Secret Service for protecting us. Ted Cruz, those storming the Capitol need to stop now. The Constitution protects peaceful protests, but not violence. From left or right, it's always wrong. And those engaged in violence are hurting the cause they say they support. That is right. That is right.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
To Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of violence, you can call our customer support team now at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help you access those resources. We have keys called Violence, Understanding It, and Stopping It. The number again, 800-488-4673. You may also email us at customercare@hopefortheheart.org. And just send that title if you'd like to. Just order that through the email. And you can do that as well as ask any questions you might have regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. Again, that email, customercare@hopefortheheart.org. Well, let's welcome to the program listening on KCBI here in Texas. Tonight we have Betty.
Well, hello, Betty. Welcome to Hope.
Hello.
Hi. How can we help you?
I just had some questions. I'm 26, and at a young age, when I was like 18, I fell into drug addiction, drug use. Mm-hmm. And while I used to not be disturbed by it, I used to not have a problem with it. But as I continued on in my life and got saved, I now am not for it anymore. So, but I haven't been able to stop. I haven't been able to overcome mm-hmm. the urges or the habit. And I'm just wondering how can I overcome drug addiction?
Let me first make a comment, and that is to say, I respect you. There are many who will they'll say, I got into this, and it doesn't have to be drug addiction, but the habit, the addiction would be, and then they just say, look, I can't help it. This is who I am. And they may say they are Christians, but or what, whatever. But I respect you for saying I became saved. I was saved. And now you're not okay with something that has control of you. That isn't the Lord, because he's the one who is to have control of you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you know, the Lord looks at your heart, and that's one of the things the Bible says, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. So I want you to be very encouraged, because, the reason is, there is an interesting scripture. I was not raised as a child with scripture, and so I never will forget when I became a Christian. How old were you when you literally were saved?
My parents have taught me and my brothers the Bible mm-hmm. from a birth. We've gone to church every Sunday for 18 years, but I personally wasn't saved in my heart. I doubted and I rejected the
yes.
word that I was taught. But it wasn't uh-huh. until just actually maybe I'm 26, so 25 of age, so
okay.
not too long ago.
Yeah. You know, there are many, many who are taken to church, and that's appropriate, and they are exposed. But a person isn't saved until they humble their hearts and receive personally Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, giving him control of their lives. And so it's not a matter of just going to church, even though I know many people are sincere. They go to church and they think because they've attended church on a regular basis, or even a semi-regular basis, they just assume they're Christians. But it's kind of like, just because you walk into a garage, that doesn't make you a car, right?
Right.
Okay. It's not going to church. Now, there are values, great values of going to church. You're going to be exposed to truths. You're going to be hearing messages that, or at least certain churches will articulate truths. Now, I was in a church, but they just didn't use the Bible. So I understand that all churches are not equal, but what I'm saying is the mistaken view is, oh, if you, as long as you go to church, then you're a Christian. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, there's a lot of, in fact, Jesus came heaviest down on the religious leaders because they had missed the point. They had the form of religion, but there wasn't a change in so many of their hearts. And so I just want to say, what I want to tell you is when I first heard one particular passage, and I didn't know how to get around in the Bible hardly at all, because I couldn't turn where other people could quickly turn to this book of the Bible and that book, and people had to help me. But there was a fascinating scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Now, I read that, and I thought, what? And I read it again. The one who calls you, and it's talking about the Lord. Because there are going to be times when God is going to call you to do something. And you could say, I can't. I've tried. I mean, I'm not wanting to do this anymore. But I can't, I don't seem to have the power to stop. And yet it's the scripture said, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So you're not just by yourself, sweetheart. And that really, I think of all the verses in the Bible, that was my most surprising one, because I didn't know that concept. I just thought you come to Christ and then you work hard to just do the best you can, but this isn't what the scripture is saying, and there are many other scriptures like that say it a different way. And that means not only are you not alone, but when you said you were saved at age 25 just a year ago, does that mean that you have Christ living in you? Did you receive Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, okay. I did.
Okay. Do you believe Jesus is all-powerful?
Yes.
So, in your power, you may not be able to stop an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, though, is all-powerful. And that's why I think I have an idea. You may know this scripture. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Yes.
Do you know that scripture?
Yes.
I thought you would. So, and it's really important because many people, they know this scripture and they'll just think, oh, well, I can do all things, whatever I need to do. No, it's I can do all things through Christ. See, it's his supernatural power that enables you to be victorious.
Yes.
So it's his strength, and therefore it's his victory. And then you can stand back and you think, wow, it took me a while to get there, but I see now. I have to do whatever I need to do to rely on Christ on the inside of me to be the victory for me.
Yes.
And now there are going to be specifics that we're going to talk about. But I'm just first.
Can you repeat that? Where was it? 1 Thessalonians, what was it?
Yes. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. You know, that'll be a great scripture for you to just every day quote. You know, the one who calls me, but put it not instead of you, the one who calls me is faithful. And he will do it. Or you could say, Christ who calls me is faithful, and he will do it. And you repeat the truth, because Jesus is the one who said the truth sets you what?
Free.
That's right. So over and over, you will be able to have a change when you repeat the truth. It's very interesting about the brain. You know, there are people who have no concept of why repeating the truth again and again is vital. When we have negative things in our lives, negative emotions, negative desires, they're there. But if we say, but I really don't want that, what you find is that the truth, literally, I'm talking about the factual truth, will overpower the positive truth will overpower the negative emotion. The negative emotion can be wanting what you shouldn't want, desiring what you once did, and this is something we've all experienced this. You are absolutely not alone. That's why the word temptation is a significant word, because we all, the Bible says, even Jesus was tempted, and yet he did not sin. So it may be that you'll never overcome a feeling of temptation, the desire of temptation, but you can overcome the action of temptation. So don't feel defeated. There are some people, my friend, who they'll say, oh, you know, I don't know what to do. I still am tempted. Obviously, you know, I keep sinning. No, you don't sin just because you're tempted. Again, Jesus did not sin. He was without sin. And yet the Bible says he was tempted in all areas, yet was without sin. So the good news for you is there are certain things that we'll talk about for you to put in place and for you to do again and again and again. And it's to build up your ability to let truth, God's truth, the positive truth, override the negative desires.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's Ministry Multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart and offering God's truth for today's problems. We want to thank you for your ongoing prayers and continued support of our ministry. We'll tell you how to give to the ministry in just a moment. But if you have questions about these topics or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address whatever's going on in your life. If you'd like a little more insight on those issues you might be dealing with, or something facing a friend of yours or somebody you care about. So call customer support right now at 800-488-HOPE. They can help you access the appropriate resources. We do have keys for living called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free, and Staying Free. Also, there's Habits and Addictions, Success in Self-Control. Those are available as you get in touch with us. Just order those by name. Again, the number 800-488-4673. Well, we're so grateful for your financial and prayerful support. I'm thrilled to share that we met our $150,000 year-end matching grant, and this will allow us to grow the number of people we reach with biblical hope and practical help for today's life challenges. We're a listener-funded broadcast, cannot do this ministry work without your financial gifts. So just think, have you been blessed by June and this broadcast? Then would you bless it forward with a gift to keep Hope in the Night on the air? How do you do that? Well, it's very easy. Just call 800-488-HOPE, the number I gave you a moment ago for ordering resources, but also you can call there and follow the prompts to give, and you can donate that way. The easiest way, really, to give is to use your phone. Just, you probably have it on you right now. Use your phone or computer to visit hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org, and every dollar goes directly to broadcast airtime to reach more people, and we thank you. Let's return to our conversation now with Betty.
Well, my friend, I'm going to send you something that, in fact, I'm going to send you two things. The first will be on the topic of alcohol and drug abuse, which is chemical dependency, and it's Breaking Free and Staying Free. And the issue there is steps to take that you have to repeat over and over. You see, an addiction is not that which just happens. It's an action that is repeated and repeated, where it becomes a habit, and then when it becomes an addiction, it's like it seems to take control of us. And that's where you want to be in control of you, and especially to allow Christ to be in control of you. But just as I'm going to say something that is going to sound too simplistic. The way you change a bad habit is to establish a good habit. Now that sounds way too simplistic. But my point is, just as a bad habit is repeated and repeated and repeated, whatever the action is, and it becomes a habit, and then later it becomes an addiction. But the same would be true for a good habit, and you overcome a bad habit. That means that there's some specifics that you have to do over and over and over again. And I'm sorry it sounds simplistic, but it's just true. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it sounds perfect. I mean, my fear is always, and what I've always found is that people, when I've gotten advice from other people, it's always, you know, something that I have to do. You know, I mean something that work that seemingly that I have to do it of my own power. And, you know, I've always thought, I can't do anything, you know, and isn't it true that we can't do anything besides without God? So, you know, I've always, you know, thought as much as that it is out of my hands, really, you know, but I've always seen that I sincerely don't want to do it anymore, and so I do ask and pray. And, I mean, however simple it may be, if it's just, you know, reading the Bible more often or praying more often, that's something that I, at least I can say there is an answer, but it's something that you can't really see yourself attaining or achieving.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a friend who, I had someone say, you've got to meet Sue. Okay. She was a musician and highly gifted and wonderful. I didn't know her at all. And this person kept saying, please, June, you've got to meet. So finally I pick up the phone and I just call her. And she told me that a little bit before I met her, she was an alcoholic and she started having DTs. And she's one of the most delightful people. But and she was a bar singer and everything. And I was a musician, so people kind of thought we would have something in common here. But it was fascinating because she told how she couldn't really change. Now, it did happen that Christ came into her life. And before, she had been a church member, but she had not had, as you described, that changed life. And she was 35. And when that happened, she truly changed. And then she said, after a while, now, I don't think that this is necessarily normative, but she said somehow she had an ability, and it was Christ's ability within her. She said, I just didn't want to continue the lifestyle I had. And it was fascinating to listen to her talk, because she really understood the challenge. And a former alcoholic, in fact, who became a Christian, had reached out to my friend Sue. And so they both knew what it was like to have changed lives, and they both knew what it's like to have victory then over, meaning they first became authentic Christians, and then later they had, through the power of Christ within them, the ability to, where it was no longer an addiction anymore. Now, you and I know something. You know, let me see. Let's say there is, people can have certain habits. And I'm going to say, for some reason, some people kind of twirl their hair with their fingers. You know, some females do that, and they just, and it's a habit, and they keep doing it. Does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, it's not a big deal, but I'm just saying, or whatever some other habit it could be, and it could be like even gambling or whatever, but the difference with a chemical addiction, it's physiological. It's not just emotional. And so I think of it always like a double addiction. And so there is a point at needing to get clean of the drug. The drug of choice, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's alcohol or any type of drug. What has been the hardest for you?
The drug of choice is methamphetamine.
Okay. Well, meth is pretty. That's a challenge. But yeah. The point is, it is essential because you've got to have your target in mind. You know, it's like if you're aiming at nothing, you're bound to hit it. So your aim needs to be, okay, I'm going to need to, first of all, get clean, get my body cleared of this addiction. And certain drugs take longer than other chemicals, you know, whether it's nicotine versus meth. But the thing is, every year there are thousands and thousands of people who are free. They become free and they stay free. And that is your that not only is an aim, it's like this is what Jesus living in you, because it's Christ, the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So with him on the inside of you, you have his power, and Jesus is God. So you keep focusing on this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Even if I am tempted, and, you know, for some there will be, oh, it's so hard because of, you know, like I remember my friend would talk about the DTs, where she would, the tremors. Well, but once you get past, and that was with an alcohol addiction, but the point here is that when God calls you, he will equip you. God calls you, faithful is one who calls you, and then he will do it. He will equip you to be able to do, to say no. Sometimes it's saying no to people. Now, is there anyone in your life who is a contributor, meaning someone who keeps encouraging the myth?
There are people, and that's another problem is us. It leads into another issue that I'm having, which is sexual immorality. There are men that I meet up with and that I get it from for free, you know, basically in exchange for sexual favors, but more agreeing to just have to do the drug together and to also, you know, experience to engage in sexual relations together. But these men, you know, that I become friends with are, they do, you know, they enable it, and, you know, ask if I want to come and do it. They're avidly doing it in their own lives, not thinking anything bad of it. So it's not a very good influence. And I try to cut them out. I do, like, delete numbers and stop communication with people, but somehow there's always more people to find and ways of getting the numbers back when I start relapsing and wanting and start getting tempted and giving to that temptation again to do it again. So it's like I get away from it, I try to delete, but I always end up coming back to it.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. That is very typical to have more than one area where there's a draw. Sometimes they're called co-addictions, poly-addictions, and sometimes there's a sexual addiction. But, you know, with knowing what you're saying, this is not what you want to keep doing. You're ready for a change, and he's able to give that change.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her.
As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
To Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. Customer support is ready to take your calls now at 800-488-HOPE. They can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. The number again, 800-488-4673. When you call, just ask for the keys for living called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free and Staying Free. There's also a book that June Hunt has written called How to Defeat Harmful Habits. And the subject is addictions. Many kinds of addictions are covered there. And you will want to get a copy of that book as well. It's called, again, How to Defeat Harmful Habits. If you would like to speak with June about a specific situation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, maybe there's something going on in your life and you'd like some direction on that, please do call us. It's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-NIGHT. The number's 17. Just call and follow the prompts. Leave us a detailed message so we can get right back to you as soon as possible to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or spelled out to 800-644-4817. Let's get back to our conversation with Betty.
Well, my friend, thank you for your candor. Thank you for being honest with me and painting the picture, because one of the challenges is when you've got, when you're with wrong people, it's so easy to literally stay doing what the group does, what the mob does, what everyone else over here is doing. And there is a point in time where you have a choice to make, to literally have to say no to people so that you can say yes to God, to say no to people so that you can say yes to God. Now, I say that because there's a scripture that I needed at one time, and it was very poignant, because I would at times get manipulated, and I was much more easily manipulated than anyone would have thought, but it's the truth. And then one day, I saw for the first time this scripture. It was Galatians 1:10. It says, am I now trying to win the approval of people or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be the servant of Christ. And I thought, I was very surprised at the content. That's, again, Galatians 1:10. And I'm going to repeat it one more time. Am I now trying to win the approval of people or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be the servant of Christ. The point being that at times we can be people pleasers. We can do what people want us to do, but it may not be at all what God wants us to do. The good news is God loves you. The Bible even says, this is the Lord speaking. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. And that's Jeremiah 31:3. And he says, I've loved you, He says, everlasting love. How long is everlasting? forever. So you're not going to lose his love. And so he loves you, and love does what's best in behalf of another person. So sometimes God is calling us to move away from that which is wrong for us so that we can live doing what's right for us. It's not to restrict us or to be harsh and cruel, or, oh, well, you can have no fun anymore or whatever. You know, no, he will enable you to not only be who he created you to be, but out of the being, you will do what he created you to do. And it'll be what's best for you. Because, candidly, those who are on meth, after a period of time, their lives are typically much shorter. There's a downward spiral. And this isn't God's perfect will for you. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, not only does he love you, he says, I know the plans I have for you. That's you. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So he's already figured out the plan, and I'm going to be sending you not only material on alcohol and drug abuse, but also habits and addictions. So there's going to be a huge amount of help for you. And then if you want more help, you and I can talk again. You decide that after you get what I'll be sending you. And I can just tell you right now, there's going to be a choice, and you're already making healthy choices. You're already thinking correctly. You're right. Before, you just didn't have any qualm about doing meth, but now you don't want to do that. So that's good. God is changing your mind. And he in fact, to give you a little more encouragement spiritually, there's a passage, another passage I happen to love. It's Ezekiel 36:26, and it says, I will give you a new heart. See, when a year ago, you were given a new heart. I said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put my spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So what he does is he gives you the spirit of Christ. He says, I'll put my spirit in you. That's the spirit of Christ in you. And then he is going to give you the will to do what's right.
And I believe this is true because I've seen him do it before. I used to struggle with homosexuality, and that was actually the main reason that I had rejected Christ as a child, because I didn't understand why it was wrong and that it was wrong. And I said, you know, this is, like you said, you know, people just say, I can't control this. You know, that's what people often say with homosexuality. Mm-hmm. It's a bit who I am, you know, and everything. And that's what I said. But as I started doing drugs, then I started having some mental problems, mental issues, some spiritual attacks. I started hearing voices, and I got scared, and I didn't know what to do. And all I needed to do was call on the name of Jesus, and I just asked him. In a moment, just asked that he would come into my heart and that he would help me and save me, because I was scared and I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And he did. And sooner, months went by, and sooner or later, I found myself just not the same, just not attracted to women anymore, not wanting to do that, and just trusting in him and being delivered completely from something that held me so really badly, and that I never thought I would ever could break. I thought it was, you know, I knew it was wrong too, in a sense that it's not okay, but I didn't know how to overcome it. I didn't know how it could be overcome, and I thought I was lost because I can't overcome this, so I can't be with Jesus. I thought this was too much, you know, this is just too strong of a feeling to ignore. Then how could I ignore it and be honest and be faithful to Him? So, but He delivered me from it completely, and I do believe that He's called me to Him, and that He does love me, and that He does want me to be prosperous and to be healthy and to be well.
Yes, yes, good. Well, see, you've seen Him work in your behalf in the past, and He's not changed, and He's not going to change, but He will change you. And He does it inside out. And the parts that you have to be cooperating with is you've got choices about who are going to be, who will be in your life. This is where you have to close the door to wrong relationships. And that means that, now those are choices that He will empower you to do, but it'll be for you to block whether, and you need to tell anyone who calls you, who you've been involved with, or those who want to be sexual with you, just say, I'm not doing this anymore, and please do not call me again, and you block the number, and you do anything that, because the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. So just with that, you just say, okay, I know that the Lord is with me at all times. And, oh, I will tell you one thing I needed to do at one time. I needed to pray a prayer, and I periodically prayed it. May I see my sin as you see it. May I hate my sin as you hate it. Because at one time I didn't hate sin. And I realized, I need to hate it, but I didn't at the time. So I just, may I see my sin as you see it. And it's not just okay, oh well, you know, at some point later on. No, life is a series of choices. Life is a series of choices. And so the good news is, I'm hearing your thinking is solid on this. Your thinking is you're thinking about consequences. And so for the people who either supply the meth or anything with a sexual relationship or immorality, you just say, nope, I know this will work against me. And I've been given a new, in fact, the Bible says you're given a new nature. If anyone is in Christ, that person's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. So this is why there's so many new things on the inside. It's just the problem is the habits that we have. That's where sometimes it's called in the Bible walking in the flesh. That means you've got a pattern, a habit, or an addiction. And so you're going to be replacing the old pattern to establish a new pattern. That's how this is going to be overcome. Again, you're going to be receiving as a gift from our ministry alcohol and drug abuse, breaking free and staying free, and then also our material on habits and addictions. And that is going to be super helpful. If we want to talk again, we'll do it.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. Let me recommend to you the keys for living habits and addictions, success in self-control, also alcohol and drug abuse, breaking free and staying free. You may order the resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and that's a free download for you. Find it wherever you find your apps. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.